Welcome to this special episode of the Student Housing Insight Podcast. I'm your host, Wesley Dees. I'm also the CEO of Student Housing Insight. SHI is a platform for off-campus student housing professionals to network, share ideas and data, all with the simple mission of making student housing better. If you want more information, go check us out at studenthousinginsight.com. Well, folks, we are within 6 weeks of the biggest event in the off-campus student housing industry, which is the Interface Student Housing Conference in Austin, Texas. This year, the event is happening April 24th through the 26th, and as always, it's at the JW Marriott in downtown Austin. We'll provide a direct link in our show notes for all the registration information, everything that you need, but you can always go to our website. Just click on the events page, and we have all the industry events listed there, both that we produce ourselves or that we cross-promote, like with Interface Student Housing. So, what's on tap for this year's Interface Conference? Well, it has become an annual tradition for me to sit down with Senior Vice President of Interface Conference Group and publisher of the Student Housing Business Magazine, Rich Kelly, to find out how the plans for the conference are coming along and what attendees can expect. So we'll get that conversation started in just a second. But first, let me make a quick announcement about something that we are doing at the conference that you can be a part of. If you are attending and you are an associate of a management firm or an ownership group, you are invited to the Student Housing Insight live podcast and brunch that we are doing at the JW on the morning of Wednesday, April 24th, the opening day of the conference. If you've been following this podcast for some time, you know that we have been doing a live podcast on location at the conference for the past 6 or 7 years. It's a ton of fun, and it's a great way to kick off the conference before everyone gets pulled into 100 directions. And this year, our guests for the podcast episode are executives on the operations side, and we'll be talking about the future of operations. And I got to tell you, I love this format because I get to ask questions that folks are typically not asked at conferences. The discussion includes a lot of intersections between student housing, obviously, and politics, culture, and technology. It's a lot of fun. So again, this is just for owners and operators. So if you fit in that category and want to attend, go to our events page on the website, click on the event and RSVP. Again, we'll provide a direct link in the show notes as well. But you know, if you're driving, you can't look at it right now. Just know that you can go to our website, go to the events page, and you'll find it. If you are a supplier or a service provider to the industry and you would like to be a sponsor, we do have, as of right now, we have 2 sponsorship spots remaining at the time of this recording. So if you're interested, you can email us at contact@studenthousinginsight.com for more info. All right, now that you're all caught up on what we're doing for Interface, let's get to my conversation with Rich Kelly. Rich, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Wes. Always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
Well, it's great to, it's certainly great to see you, or at least I can see you. Not all of our audience is going to be able to see you, but good to see you again, my friend, and happy to talk a little bit about Interface in Austin this year.
Yeah, we're only about, as we record this, we're about 6 weeks out. We're already over 1,000 people, which is a lot when you're still 6 weeks away. Yeah. So while I don't really worry about numbers and record setting attendances and all that, I think this might be a year where we again have a record crowd. And I guess, you know, Fantastic. That's testament to the fact that the industry is in great shape. You know, the properties are leasing up. They're leasing up at very healthy rent numbers. Certainly the transactional market on investments and developments and financings has been difficult, but everybody I think has hope that that will change in the near future or soon to be future. And, you know, there's a lot of pent up demand on that side, which means everybody has a lot to talk about in late April.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about the number of deals that get teed up at Interface every year, you know, to close either, you know, right before turn or right after move in, And yeah, of course, kind of some of the some of the things that we've seen, you know, with interest rates and other, and where hopefully that's headed. Yeah, I've got to imagine a lot of folks are ready to sit down and talk about flushing out some deals that they've probably wanted to do this entire past year. So that's exciting to hear, and glad to hear about attendance. But, you know, from an operator side, because, you know, that's my background, how are things looking as far as exhibitors and that type of thing?
The exhibit hall is sold out once again, so we're very excited about that. And we certainly hope, and we're going to urge all of our attendees to get in and spend time in that exhibit hall as much as possible. And we'll do our best to give people a lot of reasons to go in there. We also have some tabletop exhibits on the third floor, as we've had the last couple of years, which is kind of a nice feature.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a content standpoint, you know, leasing, management, operations has always been a huge part of the agenda. And if anything, will be, you know, even more so this year, because, you know, that's where a lot of the action has been. I mean, I think you and I have both had conversations with many owners and operators. And when you can't build new projects very easily, and you can't buy new projects or sell projects for that matter, everyone's really turned a razor sharp eye towards asset management and property management, and making sure that things are being done as efficiently and best practices as possible. So our agenda will certainly reflect that too.
So, yeah, let's talk really quick about, you know, some of the sessions. I mean, there's obviously, you know, the same things that we have year after year with, you know, the power panel and those type of things. But any other sessions that you're excited about?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a new panel on, you know, kind of emerging technologies in the space. You know, AI is a big part of that. But I've also seen, and I'm sure you have too, some interesting launches of companies that are putting forth what they propose are better ways to do some things. And I think it'll be interesting for people in our audience to be able to hear from those companies, not, you know, not sales pitches, but, you know, just an objective discussion about, you know, here's the way things have been done. Here's another way things could potentially be done. What makes the more sense? We're proud to have the W Collective back doing a session with us again this year, this time in a little different take, which I applaud Whitney and Erica for coming up with this thought and topic, women in the capital markets. So we have women who are top investment sales brokers, women who are from leading investment shops and operations and ownership entities, talking about, you know, their experiences and the role of women and the growth of women in those areas. So that, I think that'll be an interesting topic. And then, you know, even our, you know, kind of our staple topics, things of the investment and development and financing realm, you know, given what's been going on in those areas for the last 18 months, it's pretty interesting, right? It's certainly very frustrating for the people involved, but there's some, a lot of interesting issues at play, mostly about, you know, what comes next, right? How do yeah. we emerge from this? And as you referenced, there'd be a lot of meetings going on. I would like to, I have to think that there's going to be a lot of people that have plans just ready to go and put in motion once a certain bell rings. Nobody knows when that bell is going to ring or exactly how it's going to sound, but it's going to be fascinating, I think, you know, what goes on in the second half of this year. And I think that will be a large part of the topics of those discussions.
Yeah. And a lot of my conversations I've been having with folks that are planning on going, you know, last year, opening day was on Monday, I guess. And so there were a lot of folks that ended up staying later, you know, in order to have meetings and have some of those discussions. But this year, in talking to folks, it sounds like a lot of, you know, with it starting on Wednesday, it sounds like a lot of folks are coming in on Tuesday. And, you know, they've said, Wes, we're coming in and we've got, you know, meetings that we're scheduling the entire day. So, and a lot of that I know is around, you know, deal making and that type of thing. So, so yeah, get there early if you're coming this year.
Stay late. That's our mantra.
Well, tell us, we were talking a little bit before we got started here, and there's not a Lifetime Achievement Award winner this year, mainly because we're all young.
So, or at least young at heart.
At least young at heart. And a lot of us are a ways from retirement. But yeah, talk to me a little bit about Innovator Awards and some of the things that are happening on that side of the conference.
We had I think it was, I hate to go back and say this, but I think it was a record number of entries, not a tremendous record breaking, but a little bit above where we were the last couple of years, which is great to see the continued interest. It's also really interesting to see some of the topics or I should say categories that become more, you get more entries for or less entries for, depending as the years go by and market conditions and things like that. We're going to have more judges than ever. And I just, you know, I can't thank the people in the industry enough, yourself included, who, when we reach out to them and say, hey, will you devote two and a half, three hours of your time to judge these entries so that the people who win these awards are truly being honored by their peers and voted on by their peers. And it's just so heartwarming to get people who just respond back immediately, no matter when I send the email, it might be late at night for that matter, but just like, yeah, I'm in, how can I help? Sign me up, get me started. And we really appreciate that. And it makes the Innovator Awards special. I think it makes the winners who win them feel especially good and validated about their accomplishments. And we look forward to a fun awards presentation on Thursday night, the 25th.
Yeah, no, I love doing it. It's kind of like, you know, kind of like voting on the Oscars or something like that. You know, get a little bit of a behind the scenes look. So,
and you don't have to watch 9 movies to vote either.
This is true. So round tables, that's going to be starting on the opening day. But I think there's a little bit of a change, maybe a couple of sessions that are happening before the round tables this year.
Yeah, we kind of modeled that last year. And this year, we're going to have 2 sessions before the roundtables. One is going to be a panel on what, you know, it's kind of industry data. So a little bit like what you do with Shop Talk, where you talk about what's going on from a leasing standpoint. And this will be that, but also what's going on from an investment activity standpoint, development starts, things like that. So just kind of, it's a good way to start an event, right? To get the data out so that everybody can then be working from that knowledge base. So we're going to have that session.
Good point.
And then we're going to have the that W Collective session that I referenced also taking place on Wednesday. And then that'll be followed by the roundtables. And the roundtables are pretty cool, right? It allows us to tackle a lot of topics that maybe we can't fit into the agenda for whatever reason. But it's a way for those topics to have their time in the sun and have a chance to be talked about. And if you're interested in that topic, you have a chance to go sit at a table with, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 other people who are interested in that topic and really hash it out. And it's also, as you know, it's an informal setting, right? You're talking, you're chatting with people. It gets the whole networking part of the event kicked off, and then it flows very nicely and segues into the opening cocktail reception that night in the exhibit hall.
Yeah, no, the roundtables are fantastic. And I've always, you know, sometimes when you go to a conference and there's a roundtable session or whatever, you walk into the room and there's, you know, a few people sitting at the tables, and that's not the case with this. I mean, last time it seemed like all the tables were, you know, were full, and it was, for me, it's always great because you're able to have some conversations that you're never going to be able to have at the conference, outside of that experience, and, you know, having people switch, you know, in and out, and there's different dynamics that are happening with who's at the table. That's something I strongly recommend if you're going to this conference that you take part in, because you get to meet a lot of folks that, and maybe even a lot of folks you already knew, but you get to sit down and actually have a, you know, 5 to 10 minute conversation with them, and you have a completely different perspective on, you know, what that person does that maybe you didn't have before. So,
yeah, and if nothing else, also, you know that all those roundtable facilitator hosts are going to be there, right? So it's you know where you can find somebody, and you're right. I think the roundtables are part content, part networking, and when you can combine content and networking, that's a good spot to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the Innovator Awards, I'm assuming that we've got some type of dinner or something that's going along with that, or.
Well, what we do with the Innovator Awards come right after the reception on the cocktail reception on Thursday night. So what we have is like basically some food stations. We have probably 3 or 4. You know, there's a taco station, there's a barbecue station, there's a pasta station. So yeah, if you're hungry, we'll have plenty of food for you. I think a lot of people then still go out and do dinners after that. But yeah, we will have plenty of food. Bars are open. And again, we try to keep the program moving and allow time for people to chat and network, but also obviously announce all the awards too.
Yeah, it is Austin. So food is definitely a very important component
absolutely
of this conference.
People are working hard all day. They got to eat.
That's exactly right. Well, and you know, you guys and JW do such a great job of catering this as well. I mean, that's one thing that, you know, if you're this is a kind of a hot ticket conference to go to, right? But the value that you get from, you know, the lunch buffets and the breakfast buffets and all of that, it's a great value. So let's talk about JW really quick. Pretty sure you guys are already booked up with that room block. I heard from some other folks, they were being directed to the Hyatt. What does the hotel situation look like if someone's listening and they haven't made those reservations yet?
Yeah, good question. The Hyatt Place, last I was told yesterday, we still had a few rooms available in that block. It wasn't as big a block this year as we were able to get last year at the Hyatt Place, that is. I don't know what's going on in Austin that week. I mean, invariably, there's a lot of things going on in Austin every week. Yeah. But there's something big going on in Austin this same week that we're in town. And that has taken up a lot of room. So we had a really big block at the JW. It filled up pretty quick. I will say, however, you know, rooms do become available. So, you know, try the hotel and ask for our block, or reach out to my colleague. She'll probably hate me saying this, but reach out to Andrea Gibson. She has a waiting list. You know, get yourself on that waiting list, because she's been able to take people off that waiting list. The Hyatt Place, same thing. And then we have we actually looked into doing other blocks, but frankly, none of the hotels were very interested in working with us, because for whatever, you know, whatever that other big event is, they're pretty full up already. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't delay on trying to get accommodations. But then once you do, you know, there's, you know, as everybody knows, things open up, people cancel, people's plans change, et cetera, et cetera. So don't give up on trying to get into the JW or even the Hyatt Place, because, you know, invariably things open up.
Well, great, great. Yeah, now I'm wondering what that is. Is there a race that week, maybe?
I don't know. But it's
you gotta look at it.
It's, yeah, there's something going on.
Well, I before I even knew what the dates were for this year, you know, I was kind of looking at that first week in April, because that's, you know, it's typically that first, second week in April. Well, traditionally before 2020 it was. And you know, just kind of looking to see what else was going on. And that was April 8th. There's a total lunar eclipse, solar eclipse that's happening, you know, between San Antonio all the way up to, you know, going into Oklahoma. And so I don't know if you got to see the Great American, I think that's what they called it, the Great American Eclipse that happened, was it 2017 maybe? But I got to be in South Carolina, where we live, obviously. Got to travel down to Greenville and visit with some friends that we have down there and be able to see that total eclipse. And I mean, Ridge, is just, if you never experienced it, it's amazing. And I didn't think I would feel that way with it. But I remember telling my wife after that happened, we started looking to see, you know, when the next one would be, where it would be, and that type of thing. And it was going to be in that, you know, San Antonio to Austin corridor in 2024. And that's happening on April 8th. Wow. And so when I pulled that up, and I was like, why is April 8th such of a, why is that sticking in my head? And I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's the eclipse. Oh my gosh. I don't care what session I'm in, I'm going to walk out of it and go see the eclipse. But fortunately, it's that's happening, or interface is happening later in the month. So
I think a lot of people in the investment and capital markets world feel like they've been in a lunar eclipse for about the past year and a half. So.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing it's not coinciding with our event.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see you there, obviously, and to see everybody there, and looking forward to seeing what kind of records you guys end up smashing. I think last year, was it 1,500, 1,600?
No. I think we were just over 1,300.
1,300.
And again, you know, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. And I can tell you, having looked at the attendee list, we've got all the right people coming, some really interesting new names. You know, that's one thing about this space, especially since it's performed so well in the last couple of years. New entrants continue to come knock on the door, seeking to learn more, seeking to invest money. So it's interesting to see some of those new names that are coming. And it should be really a great gathering of all known and traditional players in the space, and some folks that want to get in as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, great. Well, I'm excited about it, and we'll see you there.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Wes, for this opportunity. And for everybody listening, hope we will see you in Austin.
Thanks. Again, a big thanks to Rich and his team for all that they do to bring this event to the industry each year. Well, folks, that does it for this episode. If you are going to be at Interface, I hope to see you there. If you'd like to meet about how Student Housing Insight or my consulting services through Providential Student Housing may be able to help you and your firm, please shoot me an email or a LinkedIn message, and we'll make plans to meet up. All right, take care, everyone.